accidental mayor no longer. Greg Ballard's solid win. Tom Henry holds on in Fort Wayne. The Republican gains that include a 23-year-old mayor. Mike Pence meets with Donald Trump and two brothers tie. That plus winners and losers and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending November 11, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Greg Ballard won re-election as mayor of Indianapolis with a five-point victory over Democrat Melina Kennedy, even though Democrats won back control of the city county council. Ballard gave a high-energy victory speech to supporters who watched him win the most expensive, most negative race in city history. It's a big switch from 4 years ago when Ballard defeated incumbent Bart Peterson in a surprise upset. The day after the election, I asked Ballard to what he attributed the win.
I think the progress on all fronts. I mean, people saw the city moving forward. I mean, all the trends are in the right direction. The murder rate's going down and the infrastructure being improved and the graduation rates are higher and the jobs and investment in the city are stronger. And I think it was the general improvement in the city that I think people saw.
Can Greg Ballard still say he's not a politician? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, what did Melina Kennedy do wrong?
I think what you've got here is you have a natural tendency in Indiana to reelect incumbents. I mean, that's unless there's a serious reason not to. He started out as kind of the accidental mayor, a little bumbling, but a nice guy trying to do a good job, and that's really the way he ended up the campaign. And when you have that kind of dynamic, it's hard to oust him, is really what it comes down to.
She never gave voters a reason to fire him.
Well, yeah, that's one way to look at it, I suppose. But I think largely it's the likability incumbent factor that helped him. And, when you ask whether or not he's a typical politician, he ran his campaign like a typical politician.
Yeah.
He raised his money, the pay-to-play money, as a typical politician. I mean, all of that's typical, but he got away during the campaign with being this kind of bumbling, nice guy trying to do the right thing.
Well, and my take is he kept saying, I'm not a politician, which was a pretty good political move.
Well, that's because
a pretty good politician is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's because the public doesn't perceive him to be a politician.
Right.
And that did serve him well. But this was a huge win for Greg Ballard in a city that has a 9-point Democrat advantage on an election day where the weather was in the 70s and perfect.
Everything the
Democrats always say they want they had, but except that they didn't turn out their vote. And the vote they did turn out.
Well, but they won the four at-large seats.
The problem is a lot of Democrat crossovers were Ballard. And there's no question about that. And I heard it over and over again where people said, he's doing a good job, he deserves to be reelected, and they did. A lot of Democrats voted for him instead of her because, one, she didn't come off as particularly warm and friendly in this campaign. I think her negative...
Until her concession speech.
I think her... Well, that's right. And her negative campaign ads that started in August against him backfired because they didn't resonate with people. That what she was saying about him, people didn't believe. They didn't think that was true.
He's going to have to face a democratically controlled council now. The good news for him is he hardly made any campaign promises. but can he accomplish anything?
Yeah, it will put everything under a new light and a new microscope. I think he has, to a large extent, done well because you can believe the rhetoric or not, but he hasn't acted in his tenure in the way he's managed the city as a traditional, typical big city politician. Now you wonder what kind of political skills would best serve him as he deals with this divided government with a Democrat-controlled council. Maybe some political savvy would come in handy. Maybe this same, bumbling is the word, I don't know, I've never thought of him necessarily as bumbling, but maybe that sort of down the middle, just the facts, let's just get it done approach may actually resonate with the majority of the council. It'll be interesting to watch.
Do you expect he'll have a successful second term?
I do. I think he will. When I looked at the race last week, I kept looking at your poll, Jim, and I kept seeing a disconnect between his popularity and the lack of voting. You know, he wasn't over 50%. He was well below 50%. I thought that boded well for Melina Kennedy, but I do think that he's got populist momentum going forward, and I do think there's a lot of new talent on the council. So, I mean, he's got an opportunity. The council has an opportunity to do some things together now that we haven't seen before.
Here's something that could have a bearing on that. The Republicans have already put out a contract for redistricting that the Democrats have called on them to pull back. Do you expect that Republicans go ahead with redistricting now?
I think he should pull it back.
That's right.
I think that would be the right kind of gesture to get that kind of momentum going forward. And I think to the extent that he has a program that helps the city, for example, his mass transportation idea, I think he's going to find council support for that. But when you say about get out the vote, you know, he did act like a typical politician because he voted to not allow early voting in multiple locations because he knew from 2008 that helped Democrats, which is why Indiana is 49th out of 50 states in the percentage of its people that vote. And that's a typical political move.
Let me also say that he ran, they ran a great campaign. They virtually made tens of thousands of phone calls. The organization here did a good job, better than they've done in a long time, quite frankly. And the people who ran this campaign did a good job. But the number in the Wish TV poll that I found to be most significant was the number of people who said they were voting for him. The biggest number was because he was doing a good job, not because of his party affiliation, as it was for her.
Right.
And I think that was huge when you looked at that huge number of
undecided. Right. It also helps explain
the council as well.
Well, sure.
Because he had no coattails.
Sure, but that's
right.
It.
The Wish TV Franklin College poll also showed that 13% of Democrats were voting for him.
Right. Right. And that's what made a huge difference in this race.
I think Democrats really need to go to school on this race because if they want to take advantage of the demographic advantage that they clearly have in the county, then they can't have another mistake like this. They can't have a race where at the top of the ticket they fumble the ball away.
Well, you're discounting the value of incumbency, though. You know, you really are. You are discounting.
Well, I want to go back to this redistricting thing, though. If the Republicans go ahead with redistricting before the end of the year, does that ruin any chance for bipartisan cooperation?
I think that really, really damages the chance for bipartisanship because the way that was awarded and what they did with that, it seems to me, is going to raise everyone's hackles. If he wants to have cooperation, he needs to claw that back and start all over again.
Will they go ahead with it?
I think they will, and I also think they should. And I don't think it damages him at all if they do, because I think most of the public feels like this is an honest guy trying to do a good job. And if they become obstructionists and don't try to at least work with him, and he not with them, then they've got real problems in their hands.
Well, he has to work with him. He's gotten where he is by not being a typical politician.
Right.
Doing that redistricting
and
the way he's doing it
them.
Is a typical
politician.
He will
work with them, man, and that's a problem.
Typical politician.
This guy won an election that you predicted he would lose in a big way because he's doing a good job and people recognize
him. Yeah,
we'll see.
John and Mike both touched on the Wish Franklin College poll and those other numbers about right track. That, I think, was, again, very telling because it's hard to say that Indianapolis was fundamentally broken when you have national publications, Newsweek and others in the past year, holding it up as one of the Midwestern cities that's weathering the economic storm and doing well. I mean, the city has, we're only, I forget how many days now away from the Super Bowl. It's hard to say that the city's broken when it's going to be in the national limelight in the way it has been and will be probably in the coming months.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, to what degree will Greg Ballard be at odds with the Democratic Council? Your choices are A, he won't get anything done, B, there will be some middle ground, or C, they will live in harmony. Last week's question was, what should be done to the businesses who sell drugs like spice? 44% said shut them down, 42% said they should face fines, 14% said nothing. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. In Fort Wayne, Democrat Tom Henry won a second term following a bitter campaign against Republican Paula Hughes, a former Allen County councilwoman. The campaign was marked by negative ads and threats by Hughes to sue Henry for accusing her of failing to pay taxes on a failed business despite being a Republican city. Fort Wayne has had a Democratic mayor since 1999. Henry said on election night that he's focused on the future.
Fortunately, we came out on top tonight, but I can't take anything away from Paula Hughes. She ran a tough race, and it was contentious at times. There's no question about that. But in the end, she respected the voice of the people.
Mike McDaniel, is that the biggest GOP failure of 2011?
Well, I don't know how you call it a failure if you buy into Ann's theory about the power of incumbency. But in this particular case, there's a lot of things about this race that mirrored the race here in Indianapolis. First of all, they had the lowest turnout they've ever had in the history of Fort Wayne, which was bad for the Republican. They've annexed a very big Republican territory, which means the Republicans are not getting their vote out. I think people in Fort Wayne generally feel like Mayor Henry's done a good job, and that served him well as far as the power and incumbency concerned, just as they did here with Greg Ballard. So all those things, and it was a nasty, nasty campaign from beginning to end with both sides doing some things that they probably shouldn't have done,
which
probably suppressed that turnout.
Vote.
They were in the 20s of their turnout.
Low 20s,
and it's the lowest ever in the history of Fort Wayne.
Yeah, we were only at 30, so it was nothing to write home about. But
the independent candidate got more votes than the margin of victory in this race.
State Democratic Chairman Dan Parker has a theory about the 2011 elections. He says likability was the most important factor, not partisan labels.
I think the partisan label play, as I've always thought in municipal elections, it plays less is less important. Likability is certainly a factor, but incumbency is a definite factor. And Tom has been doing a good job in Fort Wayne, and they recognize that, and they put him back in again. And by contrast on that, their candidate made some serious mistakes. Not the least of which is not paying her taxes. So it's
that was a bogus charge. I mean, owned 10% of the company, and when they found out that the taxes weren't paid, they personally paid all of the taxes.
With a personal account.
With 10%
of
the
LLC.
Taxes.
Well, yeah. She still owns it, okay? And so, he had a very smart campaign from beginning to end. He used his money effectively, and he's to be congratulated.
Okay, elsewhere around the state, a couple of races that maybe were surprising. Terre Haute, where Duke Bennett was reelected with a big win over Democrat Fred Nation, and then in Evansville, Lloyd Winicky, the Republican, took over. Let's start with Terre Haute.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. It's the first time since 1920 that a Republican has won re-election in that town. And, Fred Nation we all know Fred, quality individual, but I think in that case you have an incumbent who people thought was doing a great job, and he won by a very large margin. That was the most surprising aspect of it. You look at Evansville, that was much more predictable because a lot of Democrats had endorsed Winicky well in advance of the election. And in a Democrat city, that carries a lot of weight. A
couple other races worth noting. Anderson, where Kevin Smith, the Republican, came back to win the race he lost last time against Chris Hockerman. And then Muncie, where Dennis Tyler wins over incumbent Republican Sharon McShirley. Tyler's one of the Democrats who walked out of the Indiana House. You would have thought, would you, that would have a bigger effect on him?
Maybe not really, because when you look
in Muncie and with Sharon McShirley, because when you talk about likability.
Well, I guess that does prove that incumbents don't automatically
return to office. Likeable incumbents get returned.
But no, you look at a largely Democratic city, there's really...
Mayor McShirley had a
Democratic council, and she made all the tough decisions.
The theme throughout here, and it's interesting, as everybody has said, well, people just thought X, Y, or Z, fill in the blank, was doing a good job. And it's interesting, then you have, in a largely Democratic city, you had a Republican mayor return to office. In a largely Republican city, in Fort Wayne, you had a Democrat return to office. Terre Haute, a Democratic city, had a Republican. Maybe the voters are onto something here. Maybe they want people who can manage.
Maybe Tip O'Neill was right. All politics.
And maybe they're willing to cast aside and pay not much attention to party labels, which would be interesting.
On a local level, I think that's more true.
You had 17 Republican pickups for the first time that I can remember Republicans hold a majority of the mayors. It used to be if you had a net gain of Republican victories on election day, you were happy. But having a majority of them is huge.
All right. With that, Republicans gained at least 17 mayors statewide, including the one in Frankfort, where voters elected the youngest mayor in the town's history. Chris McBarnes is 23 years old, still a student at Butler University. He won a landslide victory with 75% of the vote against two opponents. He's set to graduate from Butler in December with two degrees, one in communications, one in anthropology.
But I know very well that the work has just begun. We have a long way to go in making this community a better place. I'm ready to take on that challenge, work with my great city council people to get this done, and more to get Frankfort moving in the right direction.
John Ketzenberger, what can be bad about that?
Well, I can't think of anything that can be bad about that. A young guy who's clearly a smart guy, and he ran a good campaign, worked very hard. Pete Buttigieg in South Bend, another young fellow who won a big election. I think it bodes well. And you know, I'm glad more people are getting involved at a younger age.
So you got the Republicans have all these new bases of operation. How much will that affect the 2012 race for governor?
I think it could have an impact because when you have a network of mayors who share your party affiliation, if you're the candidate, you have a built-in grassroots network of sorts. You have the ability for those individuals to introduce you to people who are potential contributors to your campaign, to volunteer for your campaign, to help facilitate rallies and gatherings. It doesn't hurt to have your same teammates spread out across the state, certainly.
Yeah. How happy was Mike Pence?
I would think very happy because a week before the election, John Gregg was quoted as saying, the key to winning back the state house runs through the city halls. And they had a bad day when you have 17 Republican pickups, six of which were south of U.S. 50, which has traditionally been a Democrat stronghold.
Yeah, places so going like into New Albany, Jeffersonville.
Well, from Rising Sun to Jeffersonville to Huntingburg, Jasper, second time in history of Jasper and Evansville, all south of U.S. 50, Those are not going to serve him well because what he says is that mayors are a great source of helping you raise money, bringing volunteers to the table, sure, those kinds of things. And Mike Pence went out and raised over $400,000 for mayor candidates, endorsed 33 of them over a course of about 6 weeks, and it's going to serve him very well.
And John Gregg gave $30,000 to Melina Kennedy. He obviously thought that was important.
Mm-hmm. Well, it clearly would be important. But, you know, I don't know that we still have a majority here, and we'll be able to turn the vote out in Marion County for him. There won't be any problem with that.
All right, Republican candidate for Governor Mike Pence had a meeting with Donald Trump on Tuesday. The two met in New York before Pence traveled to Indianapolis for election activities. At one point, both Pence and Trump considered running for the Republican presidential nomination.
I welcome the opportunity to sit down with Donald Trump and talk about Indiana. You know, Indiana's really become the fiscal envy of the country. Business leaders across the country are looking at the Hoosier State, and it was a privilege for me to be able to tell Indiana's story to one of our most prominent citizens.
John Schwanis, what was that all about?
How about money? Let's go with the only option I can figure. I was going through checking. No, not that, not that, not that.
Family values.
Let's say money, because clearly he was in New York actually not only to meet with the Donald, but also I think there were some fundraising events and meeting with the funders there. And maybe there's a small constituency in the Republican Party who still think that Donald Trump would be the answer to all of our national problems. And if he's willing to bless Mike Pence, maybe some dollars would flow into the into the coffers. This is the second time they've met, according to Politico. This is the second time they met, and this is the only down ballot non-presidential candidate that Donald Trump has had a formal meeting with. So I don't know. Maybe this is
maybe he'll come back and drive the plane.
Should he have been an apprenticeship in Mike Pence's future?
Should he have been here making get out the vote calls instead?
I think Mike indicated that he did offer plenty of support in advance,
sure,
so I'll give him that. But you know, meeting with Donald Trump is only a money play, and you got to wonder with whose money, given Donald Trump's history. So, you know, that's just poor coincidence of dates.
What would you expect from the guy who announces his candidacy for governor by phone call from Washington, that he spends election day in New York with the family values guy? at least he can take contributions from him now legally because he doesn't have a casino here. But I kind of wondered whether that was part of the discussion while he was there.
Well, the casino he used to own is in bankruptcy and was just taken over by a Minnesota firm.
Yeah, but you know, so he reinvents himself every 5 years, so maybe he'll come back.
Let me sum up what I just heard here. Wham, wham. I mean, look, he's smart. Why not? If he could get some money out of Donald Trump for his campaign,
whose money?
More power to him. Who cares whose money?
Good answer.
Like you guys have never raised money in New York City before for Evan Bayh.
Give me Donald a break. Trump,
you
I can
know
tell
better.
You, that for a
you
fact.
Know better. Evan Bayh, who's now a star of. Fox News, represented the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Will we see Donald Trump here campaigning for Mike Pence?
No.
And hope so.
Bring it on.
But let me tell you, maybe he does reinvest in Indiana at some point. He's got money.
He might. Another casino.
Moving on.
So the family values guy bringing more casinos to Indiana? No.
Make up anything you like. You're going to get beat.
A town council race in Morgan County that pitted brother against brother ended in a tie. Walter and Charlie Worley live in the tiny town of Bethany near Martinsville. Both have been on the town council for 16 years. Walt in Ward 4, Charlie in Ward 3. But Charlie, the older of the two, recently moved into Walt's ward, setting up the first contested election in Bethany in nearly two decades. Turns out only 14 of the 46 registered voters cast a ballot, and each brother got 7 votes. Here's Walt.
What was your reaction when you heard?
I couldn't believe that few people came out to vote.
Were you surprised it was tied?
Yeah, I was real surprised. I figured it'd be one way or the other.
Mike McDaniel, every vote counts.
Every vote does count. If there are 7 that voted for each brother, I wonder how many are in the family.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, that's an interesting question. And why don't they just flip a coin?
Well, but now it goes to the town council.
Then the
four votes, they each get a vote, so it could end up a tie again.
It could. I actually think what they ought to do is sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, take the wishbone, pull it. That's the right answer.
Charlie didn't want to talk.
You know, this has got real potential to be a big problem at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So I don't blame him.
That television buy he made was probably just if he just bought it a few blocks to the north, maybe.
I don't know. What would Charlie White do?
Well, I'll tell you what they didn't do. They didn't talk about each other's mother.
Or he could have just run in his old district and been elected and it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, that's right. He could have called Charlie for advice.
All right, time now for winners and losers. Who were the big winners on Tuesday, Ann Delaney?
Well, you obviously have to give it to Karen Freeman Wilson and Denny Tyler. And you know what? Dean Jessup in Lawrence, too.
That's a big win. We didn't mention it. Took out incumbent
and
Paul Ricketts.
And Beach Grove, we picked up as well.
Dean Jessup really got his start in politics.
1984.
He was Wayne Townsend's driver along with you. All right.
If those were the big winners, that summarizes their day. The big winners were Greg Ballard, Duke Bennett, Lloyd Winicky in Evansville.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, because of all the pickups that we had and the work that he did for those candidates there. And the Marion County Republican Party.
Give me a big winner.
I'll say Greg Ballard and also those Republican mayors who picked up those 17 seats. Not always because of party affiliation. We made the point earlier it was about local issues. But nevertheless, there are 17 more Republicans in those offices than there were or will be than there were a week ago.
Yeah. And I think critically for Mike Pence, 6 of them are in southern Indiana, as Mike indicated, below U.S. 50. And that will be big next year, I think.
Yeah, it's also the strength from John Gregg's area, too, though.
I understand that.
Well, but it does.
It gives him an incursion that he wouldn't normally have. That's
true.
The point.
That's true.
You need to break the momentum next year if you're the Democrats, right?
They've lost 2 congressmen and all those mayors. So.
All right. I think Greg Ballard's a big winner. Really do.
That's true.
I mean, he went from being the accidental mayor to a Republican winning in a Democrat county in a big way, really. All right, big loser.
Well, you know, the Indiana Democrat Party, for one, because they put out a lot of the mail that cost some of these people their elections, and I think that was a bad day for them.
I think the Republican Party in Marion County, because all that effort that they put in, they had a winning mayor, and they could not sweep the council. They couldn't keep control of the council, which means that inevitable wave is coming, and they're going to lose the vaulted machine.
You still think that Marion County will at some point be all Democrat
yes.
all the time?
Because look what's happened in places like Lawrence and Beech Grove.
I think the big loser was the election process in Monroe County, where they finally got the votes counted
Good
on
answer.
Thursday night. And the problem is you've got these setups where you have everybody has to agree unanimously to have anything change. You've got two Republicans or two Democrats, whoever's got the majority in the county. You never get an agreement based on just what's good for the process. And we saw what happens with that on Election Day in Monroe County.
I'm going to build on John's answer and say participation, citizen participation
right.
statewide, because of the reason that Mike mentioned, Allen County, its lowest turnout ever. And you saw low numbers across the state. And these were some pretty important races. I mean, there a lot will shape it to a certain extent the next 4 years, and you hate to see fewer than, well, maybe
We've
from one in five, one in four show
easier.
Up.
It's deliberately suppressed by something, the Republican
something,
I think,
something's
I think
happen
you got to put the Marion County
polls.
Democratic Party on your list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because of the race baiting
yeah.
and other tactics that they
yeah.
use that seem to backfire. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.